Several of the world's space agencies are now talking about sending missions to asteroids to learn about some of the solar system's smallest rocky bodies. But how structurally sound are their surfaces? Could it be that they're actually so weakly bound together that they would be quite unable to support the weight of a space probe? Ben Rosetas from the Open University recently flew a simulated mock-up of an asteroid on board an aircraft to find out.
At the moment, several space agencies are flying several space missions to try and land an asteroid and to grab a sample. But not a lot of work has been put into actually looking into how the surfaces will respond to when an actual spacecraft touches down and tries to interact with the surface. So we came up with this experiment.
So the problem here is that the gravitational field of these asteroids is quite weak, and that means that this material, I guess, is less strongly bound together than that of, say, the Earth.
Yeah, exactly. On the Earth, we see a lot of processes involving granular matter, as we call it, sand, and being driven a lot by gravity. But as asteroids are so much smaller than the Earth, they've practically got no gravity to hold this granular matter together. So it's intriguing to look into how these processes change when there is no gravity.
You've used the term avalanche for how this material might collapse. I guess it is a bit like snow in that it's not very well bound together.
These dry materials have some degree of strength, but once you push them beyond their limit, then all of a sudden something gives way and then you get a granular flow, as we call it. Flowing as an avalanche is an extreme case of a granular flow. And spacecraft who've visited asteroids already have seen evidence of avalanches occurring on these surfaces. So it's clear that these processes do happen on asteroids as well.
Are there any other phenomena that you see when you disrupt the material on asteroids?
Yeah, definitely. One analogy I like to use is the umbrella at a beach. Imagine you want to try and get this umbrella to stand up at a nice sandy beach. The first method you do is just try and stab it into the ground. But you generally find that the sand resists you. So the next way you could try is you could try turning the umbrella. And that helps a bit. But the best way to do it is you keep on alternating the direction. This is because you're breaking these force chains, as we call it, when you're continually changing the direction of the motion. So we tried to see if this process could work on an asteroid surface, and we found that this process does work. But we also found that usually on the Earth, it's the grains of sand closest to the pole that rotate around the pole the most. But when we tried this on an asteroid surface, we find that essentially the rest of the beach would turn around with you if you try to land on it in a particular direction. Now, you could, the transmission, the force being transmitted across to the other side of the asteroid can cause an avalanche on the other side. So it's really, really quite strange.
I gather you actually had the opportunity to fly your experiment on an Airbus A300. How did that come about?
Yeah, we flew our experiment on a parabolic flight, as we call it, about 4 years ago, and that came through a competition through the European Space Agency called Fly Your Thesis. Initially, there were 50 proposals put forward. 25 of them got shortlisted, and they selected the best four to go and fly on the parabolic flight in November 2009.
Did you basically fly a mock-up of an asteroid surface to see how it would behave in that low-gravity environment?
Not exactly, but an idealised piece of kit so we can modify the surface in a controlled way. So basically we have a rotating drum, and it's filled with a million glass beads, and we slowly rotate them and image them with high-speed cameras, and we will see what happens to the granular material by tracking the individual beads with a particle tracking algorithm afterwards.
How much do we know actually about the sizes of the particles that you would have on the surface of an asteroid?
They range in size from dust size, a few microns as we call it, all the way up to centimetre size, so pebbles, all the way up to metres and 10 metres size, so you get rocks and boulders. And particularly some asteroids, as we call them, are rubble piles, where they're basically made of small particles all the way up to boulders, all stuck together by just gravity.
Obviously, it's going to be very important to understand this before we try and make a controlled landing on the surface of an asteroid. When do you think there might be spacecraft landing on asteroids?
Well, there have already been two such landings on an asteroid. There was the Near Shoemaker mission, which was run by NASA. That was initially an orbiter mission for the asteroid Eros. And to the end of the mission, they decided to just land on the asteroid. And so they got it down, and the spacecraft sent back data for several days afterwards. We don't know what state the spacecraft was in afterwards. And then there was the Japanese Hayabusa mission to Itokawa, where they actually tried to grab a sample from the asteroid by hovering, but they didn't get the hovering quite right. So temporarily, it touched the surface for a few moments before hopping off and returning to the Earth.
What's the next step for you? Are there going to be more spacecraft landing on asteroids that will collect data to help you constrain your models?
At the moment, the European Space Agency has the Rosetta mission going to a comet, and it's going to try and land on the comet late next year. And we will be watching with great interest to see how it'll cope. Because there are some theories that its surface could be a bit like talcum powder and trying to land a spacecraft and get it to stay on the surface or not get buried on the surface when it lands is going to be an interesting challenge.
That was Ben Rosetas from the Open University. That's all for today's Naked Astronomy, but don't forget you can find more episodes of the podcast at thenakedscientist.com/astronomy. If you'd like to get in touch, you can send a tweet at Naked Scientists or email astronomy@thenakedscientist.com. Naked Astronomy is produced by me, Dominic Ford, and comes to you from Cambridge University with support from the Royal Astronomical Society and the Science and Technology Facilities Council.